The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Keep Calm and Crown On is brought to you by Minute with Mary. You've heard me talk about all the different benefits of shopping at Minute with Mary. It's a one-stop shop, of course, for all things beauty and skincare, but it also benefits our family. Yes, rather than going to a big box store or buying things online from a big box store, you can be purchasing these items, and it benefits me and Blake, the little Larson family, our little Larson clan that keeps you company in your earbuds. Also, 10% of the proceeds goes towards the Unique Foundation. If you've never heard about the Unique Foundation, head on over to uniquefoundation.org. It's a foundation created to help adult female victims of childhood sexual abuse. So if you yourself are a survivor, if you were abused sexually by the age 18 or before, know that there is an amazing resource out there for you, a fully paid for retreat that you can go to help you with your healing. There's also free resources if you cannot leave, whether it's because of the pandemic or for other reasons. And if you're a parent like myself or you have young children in your lives, defendinnocence.org is another free resource for us to help empower ourselves and the young ones in our lives. So know that anything at minutewithmary.com not only supports Blake, myself, and our kids, but also 10% of the proceeds goes to help people protect against childhood sexual abuse and also goes to help survivors.
What were you thinking?
I was only trying to make you happy.
That grotesque, mortifying display had nothing to do with me or my happiness. 8 minutes they were on their feet, cheering you. Tomorrow, the newspapers will be about nothing other than you.
And people will see that it was about my feelings for you.
If you had any feelings for me, if you had any understanding of me, if you had anything between your ears other than self-obsession, you'd know public displays like that horrify me.
Everything I do seems to horrify
you. Increasingly, yes.
I never thought you'd manage this, but you're really succeeding now.
And what's that?
I'm starting to properly loathe you.
But what's taken you so long? The rest of us have been there for some time.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Keep Calm and Crown On. It's a podcast dedicated to the Crown on Netflix. So grab your best cup of tea and let's get royal. And welcome. I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I think Giles should take some advice from this podcast. Just keep calm. Keep calm and crown on, man.
He needs a cuppa.
He needs
a cup of something.
I think he could do with an Irish
coffee. A cup of whoop ass, if you ask me. That's what I need.
A cup of something good to drink.
Nope, he needs a timeout.
He definitely needs a timeout. He needs all the timeouts.
Well, listen, before we get into our trash talking of Prince Charles, because that's pretty much what's gonna be, okay? Sorry if you're a Prince Charles fan like I was. Season 3, all about the Prince Charles life, right?
Yes, I was in.
Season 4?
Not so much.
Nope. We wanted to remind you, of course, that you can subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on social media by searching Mary and Blake. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and, of course, the Facebook. Or you can head on over to maryandblake.com. If you've never been there, Blake designed this absolutely gorgeous site.
Oh, thank you so much.
You can also find all of our other podcasts and blogs there. And, of course, thank you to everyone at jointhenerdclan.com for voting and making this podcast possible. Thanks to your patron support. If it wasn't for listeners like you, we wouldn't be here.
And of course, remember that we are only a mere 30 patrons away from you guys picking our next podcast. Sorry, I've been advised to say folks. 30 patrons away from you folks picking our next podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Get your friends involved. Get the random guy in the street or the random gal on, you know, down the corner. Let them know that we're only 30 patrons away.
You got these crazy Rhode Islanders who are stuck in their basement thanks to the pandemic, who can podcast about whatever your heart desires.
So get your friends to go to jointhenerdclan.com and sign up to help decide the next podcast that Mary and I will do. Marvin, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Well, this is the penultimate episode of season four, Mary. We are almost here. We are almost done with The Crown. Oh, it's bananas. It's bananas how much podcasting we've done over the past week.
Uh-huh. I mean, look at me. If you're on the video aspect, I'm haggard, okay? I was practicing my makeup. One side of my face is one type of foundation. The other side of my face is a different type of foundation. And I have no other makeup aside from foundation on my face.
That's true. That's true. You know what? It's okay.
And my daughter was brushing my hair before this and used copious amounts of detangler spray.
So much detangler spray.
Except my hair doesn't tangle. So I literally just have like this really gross, slicked back pony that I wish I meant to do on purpose. Yeah. Betty the Corgi is judging me.
She's not impressed.
You know what? I'm going to put Betty down because I'm not going to lie. There we go. Look. Who's here?
Hey, Lumos is here.
She has not been here in the podcast studio since Betty arrived.
That's true. Since Betty's been here, it's been Betty's kingdom.
Yeah. Lumos is still quite out on the Betty fake Corgi. All right, Blake, so tell me the details of Avalanche.
All right, of course. Well, the details of Avalanche, obviously, it's entitled Avalanche number one. It is a reference to the almost dead, well, the actually deadly avalanche in which Prince Charles found himself. But of course, he did not die in the avalanche. And I think it's also appropriate for the rest of the episode, too. I mean, it's an avalanche of emotion. It's an avalanche of just badness and something that is going to overtake.
An avalanche of their marriage.
Yeah, it's going to overtake the crown from here on out. I mean, this will be the defining aspect of this era of the crown. I mean, from here on in, probably until William gets married to Kate.
Which will not be covered in The Crown, the show on Netflix.
No, it will not. It will not. But still, this is the big deal, and it's important. So I find it appropriate that this is entitled Avalanche. Yes. The director was Jessica Hobbs, who has directed Moondust, Cri de Coeur, The Hereditary Principal, obviously Avalanche. And she is going to be directing the season four finale called War. So, even though we felt like Jessica Hobbs was really in on Margaret, and what are you doing, Marvin?
I'm listening.
Yeah, but you're making Betty smell the cat's butt, and I am trying to like run a podcast. And you're just, what are we doing?
She's just very interested in the fake Corgi.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, if you're listening on the podcast app, ladies and gents, I am sorry. All right, so even though we felt that Jessica Hobbs was really good with Margaret, I think she has a deft touch here with Avalanche as well, as it's related to Prince Charles and Princess Diana. Your Corgi's rating, Marvin, as you're playing with Betty the Corgi and teasing our cat Lumos.
She was down. She was down for a little bit. My Corgi's rating. My Corgi's rating.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. There we go.
I would give this episode a 4.9.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, why are you giving it a 4.9?
Very emotional.
Yes.
Very emotional. I like to see the family dynamic. I loved having Charles, Diana, and the Queen and Prince Philip all together. I loved seeing Anne just give it straight to Charles. I loved seeing Charles think that he can just make his little dream world come true. It was just a lot of things.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of things. Plus, I didn't even know that the avalanche thing happened.
Yeah, neither did I.
I didn't know that Princess Diana danced on stage.
Nor did I.
I didn't know that she then also sang. Was it Think of Me? No.
All I Ask of You.
Oh, yes.
From The Phantom of the Opera. Okay, so for me, I'm giving it a 4.9 as well, Mary. I really liked this.
Look at us being twinsies.
Really liked this episode, though I did not like it as much as Fairy Tale.
Agreed.
But this was quite good. And the reason why I like it so much, because I think it is a very easy, well, not easy, it's a very complex portrayal of both parties, of both Charles and Diana, and especially how it seems they are so both into themselves, they don't see each other for what or who they are or what they actually want, what they really need to make the marriage work. They're so into... Lumos has killed Betty. That's it. She took her down. Took
this
her off her.
This
off
is
the,
my perch.
Off the perch. They really... They seem to be so into themselves that they are not paying attention to each other. And it's done in subtle ways in this episode, but I think that's a real defining characteristic of this marriage, which I really appreciate.
Agreed.
So your GBG, Mary, what is your good, your bad, and your great?
My good was the sly little remark that Queen Elizabeth had when she and Prince Philip were having a meal together, and she was like, you had your own ballerinas for that.
Oh.
Making reference to the fact that he
allegedly
cheated on her and did his own thing, and she's just like, whatever, okay?
Ruthless.
Don't throw rocks in glass houses, buddy.
Yep.
My bad, mind you, this wasn't anything bad about the episode. It was a phenomenal episode, but Charles saying, if she even thinks about straying, and he's saying this to Camilla, and he's like he, just because he's the heir, just because he's loved Camilla all his life, like he can be cheating all this time, be an absolutely wretched husband. And yet I want to catch her. And he lays out this whole plan to catch her when in actuality, at least in the show, she was not cheating on him all this time.
Right.
He was unfaithful for her. He was the one that courted her, proposed to her, gave her a very terrible Cliff Notes version of here's the stuff that you're going to have to know when you marry into the royal family. I mean, think about how much fun she had at Balmoral Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time she sees everybody, they're all so mean to her. This is all thanks to you, Charles, okay? You're a terrible husband, and that is my bad. My bad is Charles.
Of course.
And then my great. Princess Anne, she doesn't mess around, okay? She's just going to lay it on down.
Yep.
Everybody else is going to tiptoe around Charles. Okay, your marriage is going to work out. Oh, I'm not going to divorce my husband for you. And Anne's just like, you done messed up, okay? Camilla doesn't love you enough to divorce her husband. She's happy where she is. Mm-hmm. You got Diana. Diana's perfect. She's pretty much awesome because you're an ugly, weird dope, all right? Nobody cares about you, but now they care about you all thanks to Diana.
Right.
Princess Anne for the win.
Princess Anne, she gets the W in this one. As much
sure
as we
does.
Were out on Princess Anne at the beginning of this season.
Bloop. Did a little flip-flop.
She gets the W. All right.
Yes.
For me, my good is the fact that the crown... again, is not painting Diana as a martyr. It's not painting Charles as the sole villain either. There's a lot of gray between these two. And you can make an argument either way on how you fall or what is right and what is wrong. But it's not 100% right and it's not 100% wrong. And a very neat and impressive way that Peter Morgan does this and achieves this is through Diana's plea to the queen saying, yes, I'm here. I want to be part of this. I want to be married. And every bit of me wants to believe her, especially with the montage of all the good memories that they had. But there's a part of me that thinks she went before him, and she went before him real quick because she knew. She saw him pulling out the letter, and she's like, oh my God, no. And then she said, yes, I want to be married.
Well, it's like, no, this isn't going to be my fault. Like, you're not going to throw me under the bus. You're not going to kick me to the curb after I've already done this many things. And he had that near-death experience with the avalanche.
Sure.
So I do believe that that made her remember the good memories.
Absolutely.
And maybe do a lot of self-reflection where I haven't necessarily been the best wife all the time, and I do want to make this work.
Right.
I wonder what her zodiac sign is.
Oh, that'd be a good question.
Yeah, I'm going to find out because I want to see if this is in character of her.
So, is it something that she is really passionate about? And she...
Cancer.
She's a Cancer. Okay. So is it something that she's really passionate about? And she...
Cancers always wear their hearts on their sleeves and are always upfront and honest about their emotions.
Interesting. Well, is there a little subterfuge? Because her emotion is perhaps she just wants to be the future queen. And she's doing it to actually just be the future queen and not the wife of the king.
Prince Charles's zodiac sign is Scorpio.
Okay.
Which is the exact opposite. This is the sign known for keeping their emotions to themselves. Yeah.
That would be it. I think that's an appropriate descriptor of both of them.
Yes.
In that case. The bad for me, and it's not necessarily a bad, but it could be a bad, and it's a question I have for you, Mary.
Okay.
Is it getting repetitive?
Is what getting repetitive?
The Diana Charles stuff.
You want to know what I want to say to you?
Sure.
Your parents never got divorced, so you don't know. This is real life.
Yeah, no,
this is what it's like. You literally sit there as a child, and you're like, oh, they're fighting again. Okay, they made up. They're fighting again. They're fighting again. They're fighting again. It's literally repetitive until you can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's repetitive because you don't. Most couples, especially couples that have kids, they don't just divorce because of one thing.
Yep.
It has to be this compounding avalanche-like effect that, yeah, they're made up just a little snowflakes, but like it's the compounding nature of it that really crushes and kills.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Would it be better if we got more good times?
Nope.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think there are actually that many good times in this relationship.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Portrayed, at least on screen, Charles never loved her. He loved Camilla. He did not want to marry Diana.
Yep.
Imagine having to marry this person that you don't love.
No.
Imagine, think about the fights that they had after she already had William. Mm-hmm. And then to know that she still had to have sex with him to have Harry to give him the heir.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Got to think about that.
Yeah.
My great is a tie. The first one, of course.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
You're welcome.
The first one, of course, is who is Billy Joel? If that's not, what is a weekend?
Seriously.
Then I will never know what will be. I mean, that is awesome. Billy Joel.
Yes.
Like, that was awesome. Great bit of levity there. And then, of course, anytime you use the Phantom of the Opera in anything, you're going to get this.
Weighted Blake's heart.
Makes me want to shout. Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Give me all the Phantom of the Opera that you possibly can, though not Love Never Dies. Don't want any of that.
Concur.
Don't want any part of that.
Concur.
I have zero shares of Love Never Dies.
Oh, wait.
Give me all the Phantom of the Opera. So that is
the
that.
OG.
That is that, Marvin. What do you think? Where do you want to begin with this episode?
Tell me, man. I'll follow along.
You know, we talked a lot, I think, here about Charles and Diana and their situation. But I want to get into the Tobias Menzies of this episode.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Well, do I play it?
I mean,
do I play it?
Yes.
Okay.
Obvi. And I oh my God, more episode after this. How much more Prince Philip are we gonna have? What's Tobias up to now?
Oh, I don't know. But he's just great.
He's probably doing some cool COVID craft, like learning how to cross stitch or making sourdough bread.
Absolutely sourdough bread. You know, maybe he was a little too sour at the beginning, then he goes a little less, you know? That's what I'm thinking.
Does
maybe
it
too much flour.
Rise the way he wants
no,
it.
No, no, no. Not enough yeast. You know?
And he does some like scuff that you've seen him do in all of his roles.
And he rubs his head just like this.
And then he touches his lip the way he does.
Yeah.
But there's flour left on his face. Maybe he runs his hand through his hair.
Oh, yeah. This is
more flour.
This is ridiculous.
Baking soda. Thought it said baking powder. Run his hair and through his hair.
Oh man.
Okay,
I love him so much.
He's Tobias just, Menzies. He's go the, for it, Blake.
He's the
just
bee's
just
knees.
Take the stage, man. So, take the stage. I'm gonna lean back on my yoga ball.
There are
because my chair broke.
Well, you're almost out of frame, Marvin.
Listen,
so.
I podcasted so much, my chair broke. And Blake didn't believe
true.
Me. I was complaining.
No, it's not that I didn't believe
okay,
you.
You didn't understand the severity. So
no, I
don't
didn't.
I don't really complain too much unless it is a big deal, but the problem is that a lot of things are a big deal, guys. So I was telling Blake, my back really hurts, something's wrong with me, my chair isn't right. And he was like, yeah, okay. And I kept telling him, like, no, seriously, something's wrong. Finally, he saw my chair last episode.
Yes.
It's literally like a chair from Whoville from Dr. Seuss.
If this is a level chair, it was like this.
Yeah, it was a downward slope.
It was.
And we have not gotten a new chair yet.
We have not yet. So I gave her the yoga ball, which you used to podcast on, by the way.
Yeah, because I used to be pregnant.
That's true. That's a valid point. Anyway, I love Tobias Menzies.
And I also wasn't videotaped when we used to podcast. That's, I can't like bounce on video all the time.
I love Tobias Menzies on this episode because of two very subtle things that he does.
Okay.
Which is his like retraction almost. The searing pain of hearing Elizabeth say to him, oh yeah, you had your ballerinas for that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It wasn't like this big, you know, histrionic move or anything. It was just like, it was just how he recoils a little bit. Like, you went there. I got to take it. Okay, sure, fine.
Yep.
Really liked that. And then also, too, right as Diana and Charles were sitting down to have their conversation with Betty and Philip, Betty and Phil, he looks at Diana and he just smiles and winks at her. That was just a nice little touch. It goes to show you, and we talked about these threads that have happened throughout this entire season. This goes all the way back to the Balmoral test.
Yes.
With how impressed by her he was. And he had this affection for her based off of how she impressed him. And it goes to show you that this has remained throughout this whole time. That even though all the stuff with Charles has happened.
I mean, they don't really like dig Charles. It's not like Prince Philip really is enamored by his son.
That's true.
I think one can argue that he may like Diana more than his son.
Probably does.
Yeah.
Probably does. So I liked that Tobias could get that in there. And obviously, I think it was done on purpose. If it was one of those happy accidents that he
that
just
Tobias
did,
does.
That he is known for doing, that is also
agreed.
Really, really, really cool. So what did you think about that conversation, Mary?
The parents conversation?
Yeah. And I guess my larger question to you, is it sadder that Diana thinks her marriage can be salvaged?
No, or, I don't think that's sad.
Or is it sadder that Charles isn't given an opportunity to talk? Which one is worse?
Sorry, rephrase it again.
Okay,
I'm listening.
Mary. How to tell
aren't listening. Maybe if you weren't drawling on trying to ask a question. Which had two things that were important.
Is it sadder that Diana thinks her marriage can be salvaged, or is it sadder that Charles wasn't allowed to speak from
Neither
his parents?
Neither are sad.
Oh, I think both are very sad.
Whatever, Charles. You stink. You had your moment. You stink, you stink, you stink. X, too bad. A, you snooze, you lose. B, it wouldn't have even mattered if you read your flippin' little love net letter, okay?
I love Camilla. I'm sorry I married Diana.
Yeah, no crap. We all know this. What would have Charles said that would have shown any light on what those three people didn't already know about him? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what? Just like Betty told him before, nobody cares about what you have to say.
Oh, good point.
Okay?
Good
nobody point. Cares.
That is another thread. That
and even though I did
here.
Care in season 3, I don't care in season 4.
Mary's not on the train anymore.
No. Nope. Not even the caboose.
It's the anti-choo-choo.
That's it.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.